WTIC. We'll take more calls in a few minutes. Joining us now, though, is State Representative Laura Devlin, ranking member of the Transportation Committee, which yesterday had had the chance to consider some legislation on tolls and moved it forward. Representative, thanks for being here on WTIC.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
What's the nature of what occurred yesterday? Why is it important, and what kind of progress does it represent for these pieces of legislation?
So it's really not a surprise that these three bills passed the committee. In prior years, we had toll bills pass the committee as well. So really, the battle is just beginning to really put pressure on Democrat lawmakers to not have this go any further.
Okay, so this is the kickoff of the process, and this is the moment really that should be the point at which those opposed should be triggered if they want to voice their opinions.
Absolutely.
The most egregious thing that took place, and you know, your assessment of the legislation in general, please?
So there are, you know, three bills: the Democrat governor bill, the Democrat Senate bill, and the Democrat House bill. The governor and the Senate bill are pretty similar in terms of putting tolls on 95, 91, 84, and 15. Probably the most egregious is the Democrat House bill that, in addition to that, also gives the DOT the ability to put tolls on any other limited access highway. So that essentially goes back to that original map with 82 toll gantries.
Yep.
It also includes that language that says, you know, deemed approved, that if the bill isn't called for a vote, it goes into play.
Yeah, so if this transportation authority decides it's going to raise tolls, for example, or put that plan into effect, it happens automatically if there's no vote in the legislature. That's what you're saying, right?
So, and what would happen then is the within 15 days, that is correct. It would go into play.
Yeah, but when you have the domination of the Democrats the way you do now in both chambers, and then you've got a Democratic governor, they can simply fail to take up anything they choose, right?
Well, we've seen that with union contracts year over year, and we just made that change in the past year or two to ensure that they do come to the floor for a vote. But yes, that is a past practice by the current majority Democrats that has been in place for a long time.
This concerns
appropriate with something like this.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for much of anything. To me, this is what's happened to Washington, that it's become so much power has been turned over to bureaucrats in this exact same manner that we have this sense of not having representative government anymore because we don't.
Well, and a common thread across all of these bills is that where gantries would be placed, what the rates would be, any of that is determined by the Department of Transportation or this other authority. Essentially, it takes the legislature out of it,
yes,
which is the wrong thing to do.
Now, why does the legislature want to take itself out of decision-making? That's what they're elected for.
That's right. That's right. But and that would require that you're held accountable for decisions that are made. And some of these bad bills and the, you know, bad implications of them don't want their fingerprints on.
So the Democrats are chasing the money, and this is how they get the money. And then when there's a negative repercussion later, they can claim innocence and say, oh, there's nothing I can do. It's their authority to do it.
This is the biggest money grab in our state's history. I have never known a toll to go down in price. And keep in mind, what we're talking about here are variable pricing or congestion pricing tolls. That's
so the
only only way Connecticut could be approved to put in tolls.
Yes.
Which are designed to keep you off the road.
Yes.
By having such high prices.
They admit this. Like, that's good news. They want to drive people onto the side roads. The thing I imagine, the biggest mess is the unintended consequences on side roads when all these cars are pouring off of the highways to avoid the tolls.
That is a big issue. And in fact, the gantries would be every 6 miles apart. And in the area of Connecticut where I live, in Fairfield County, the exits are 1 mile apart.
Yep.
So you can imagine the diversion between 95 and the Merritt Parkway on the back roads to avoid paying these tolls.
All right, Representative Devlin, hold on a sec. We'll talk more about this if you can spend a couple more minutes with us. We're talking with Representative Laura Devlin. And that point she just made is really important. The fact of the mileage between. We'll get into the details. It's WTIC. State Representative Laura Devlin is here. She represents Fairfield and Trumbull. We're talking about transportation issues because she sits on that. Well, I should be more specific. Tolling issues. She sits on that committee that had the hearing and the vote yesterday on three different pieces of legislation. I just want to finish up on this topic of the distance between the gantries, because originally they wanted to have them a mile apart. Wasn't that what they were talking about?
They've always been at that 6 mile apart.
Oh, they have. Okay.
Range. Yeah.
So, but that creates an inherent problem, as you're pointing out, down in Fairfield County, where you have this frequency of exits, and people are going to be swerving off the road when they're approaching the last exit before the gantries, won't they?
Absolutely. And I don't know if you are familiar with this enormous, modern, new mall that is being built in the town of Norwalk. It is, and there are not many malls that are being developed right now, but this is a very state-of-the-art complex intended to draw people from New York and from other parts of the state. And now we're adding in the cost of tolls. I mean, I think that is absolutely going to have an impact on the commercial viability.
It will make it less of a magnet, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, any other issues you want us to be aware of before you go?
So it's interesting that we talk about, you know, that the only options are tolls or no tolls, and that tolls also don't mean that we would bond or, you know, our transportation infrastructure projects. And that is a total sort of misnomer. Bonding or tolling does not take that away. The proposals before us are to grab the money out of our pockets, which isn't just the money out of our pockets. It's also the added costs on every good and service that we would pay because of tolls and still borrow to be able to put these projects into play. So
all right.
There is an alternative, prioritized progress, that actually was already included in the bipartisan budget and is already paying dividends. And that's the way we should go.
Meaning what exactly?
That means that we work within the bonding cap and we use the special transportation fund, which regrettably the governor did just raid. So we would like to work with him to restore the monies that he wants to take out of.
Wait a sec. How did the governor raid the transportation fund when voters created a lockbox?
Oh, the lockbox. The lockbox don't lock. yeah, so that, you know, people would always say, oh, if you have a lockbox, we'll be fine with tolls. And the reality is that the constitutional lockbox provides no more protection than the special transportation fund.
Wait, how can this be? They passed a constitutional amendment that's a total ruse?
Yes.
No, but seriously, how do they build it? How do you make such a thing not lock? Is it just a matter of little words that are thrown in?
Absolutely. And when I served on the committee where we had to approve the language that would be on the ballot, we couldn't change it. It was basically to approve it.
Up or down vote.
Yeah. So my question at that time was, how does this differ from the special transportation fund? And the answer from our nonpartisan staff was that it doesn't. It offers no more protection. But again, it's a sound bite. It's something that sounds good, that would lull people into supporting something.
Yes.
That also, you know, isn't well understood. And that's why my partner, Senator Henry Martin, and I are traveling the state holding informational forums to really share the facts.
Well, I'm so glad you said this. I've always felt that the real purpose of the lockbox was to trick voters into thinking that they were protecting themselves from the Democrats. But why would you give the Democrats money when you don't trust them enough to have the money unless with their agreement you pass, or their encouragement, you pass a lockbox? It seems crazy.
Right. Right. Now, granted, if tolls were in play, that money has to be spent on the roads with which they are pulled, that they are gathered from. But it doesn't mean other monies can't move around. And what the governor did was freeze the car sales tax, which had been moved into the special transportation fund. So he has frozen that.
He locked that money up so it can't go into the lockbox.
Absolutely.
But really, is this going to be as dire as it seems? It feels like an awful thing being done to the state.
It is the worst money grab on the state residents that we've ever had. And listen, we hear all the time from the governor, listen, you know, we've got to get our state moving again. We've got to invest in transportation. We hear from Democrat leaders, this is urgent, and it is important, but we have the means today to be able to start tackling these projects. And if tolls were to be voted and approved, we're not looking until a good 4 or so years before we're collecting revenue.
Right.
So, and what it offers is an open spigot that we need more money. Well, there's a real easy way to get it.
All right. Thank you very much, Representative Laura Devlin. Will you come back and talk to us again? I love how you articulate this.
I'd be happy to.
Good. All right. We'll see you again soon then.
All right, thank you.
Keep up the good work. Representative Laura Devlin represents Trumbull, Fairfield. She's a Republican on the Transportation Committee, fighting for you as opposed to against you, like most of the people are there. WTIC, good afternoon. No, good evening. Todd here with you, and what's happening now? Well, we're talking about tolls, among other issues, as this is a hot topic happening right now. We need to rise up. We need to resist. Joining us from the Transportation Committee is Representative Gail Lavielle. She represents Wilton, Norwalk, and I think Westport. And she's on that Transportation Committee. Did I say that? So she's got a lot to share with us. Thank you, Gail, for taking the time to talk.
Thank you for having me.
All right. What happened yesterday that's of interest and noteworthy and that people really need to know about?
Well, I think I was asked to vote on tolls for about the 100th time since I've been here. But
you're getting good at it, huh?
Well, I always know what I'm going to do. But so yesterday, like last session, we had 4 toll bills at once. Yesterday, we only had 3. One was a Senate bill, which was the Senate Democrats bill. Another one was the governor's bill. And another one was the House Democrats bill, which was called the committee bill. And they all had a few differences. Probably the tamest one, if you can call it that, was the governor's bill. The Senate Democrats bill had something about freezing the toll rates for 10 years, whatever they were, which is hard to do when you've got congestion pricing, which is what we would have to have. So I don't know how they got to that. And then the House Democrats bill was just like, wow, all over the place. You know, it had you would vote for this bill, pass it, and then DOT would have a certain amount of time to deliver a tolls plan with actually the specifics in it. And if the legislature didn't vote on that tolls plan in 15 days, it would be deemed approved, right?
Yeah, that's scary.
Fatal words.
That's scary stuff. That's abdicating responsibility as an elected official, is it not?
Completely. And then there were also other little salient parts, like the Transportation Authority. which would be yet another quasi-public agency with a lot of unelected people running it who represent nobody. And they would be there to determine transportation spending priorities and also to do things like set toll rates under the oversight of the DOT. But I never understand that because as the legislature, we have to approve the fee to renew your driver's license, to register your car, to go into the state parks, to get a fishing license. We have to approve all those fees, but we don't have to approve tolls.
Yeah, so this is anti-democratic, as with as big capitals as you can write it. And anybody who votes for this kind of legislation should permanently face the accusation of not believing in democratic principles.
Right. You're just excluding the people from representation.
You're manipulating an existing system that guarantees people the right to be represented and taking it away from them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the argument, the Democrats are making this song story about the need for this money, that the state is, its transportation fund is so bankrupt that this money is just required. And the second part is that the reason the state is in a financial crisis is because there just isn't enough infrastructure, and that's why people aren't moving into the state and people are leaving and businesses are leaving.
Right.
Does that hold any water for you?
No, I mean, I think that our terrible transportation system does discourage people, but it is by no means the only reason, because, you know, people are moving out because of the taxes and the depressed real estate value.
It was only a few months ago that even the governor agreed with that. The former governor agreed that overtaxation was driving people from the state.
After having caused it.
Yes.
After having caused it.
Yes, and now suddenly the cure is more taxation.
But what I find just marvelous is that, you know, they're saying, well, the transportation fund is bereft and we need more money, when in fact the governor has proposed to stop transferring the sales taxes on new cars into the special transportation fund.
No, come on now, Representative Lavielle. He wouldn't do that.
That's a loss of about $350 million a year for the special transportation fund. So no wonder it doesn't have, you know.
The governor couldn't support that. That would be a direct contradiction of everything the Democrats are messaging over.
But he does. It's in his budget.
It must be a typo.
Well, there's a lot of it because it's all over the place. He says it everywhere. So there's a lot of typos. But that just baffles me. But the thing that all these three bills have in common is that they basically require you to vote for something that doesn't exist. That was my main remark.
What is the thing that doesn't exist?
Something that doesn't exist.
What is that?
A plan for the tolls.
They just—they're asking you to commit to a big policy change in vague, generalized terms, but without telling you what the plan is.
They're asking me to vote to make my constituents spend a whole lot of money for an unspecified, because it's unquantified, benefit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it is. I don't know how much money they're being asked to spend, and I don't know the value of, you know,
all right,
you're going to get.
Representative Lavielle, hold on 1 minute. We'll talk more, but we're going to do a quick traffic and weather update. Gail Lavielle is with us. Stay tuned. We'll wrap up with her. We'll take some calls, 860-522-WTIC. All right, so we're talking tolls with State Representative Gail Lavielle. We'll finish up with her and then take some calls. What else do we need to know, Representative?
Well, now these bills are probably going to have to go to the Finance Committee, and they will. I'm sure they're not going to run all three of them. They'll probably try to mix a couple of them together. What we don't know is whether there's enough votes to pass them. I have no idea. But there is certainly a lot of widespread opposition. I think there's a petition with 86,000 signatures on it against this, and it's an attempt to grab a lot of revenue for a budget that has no cuts in it to speak of.
Why is that? Why are Democrats opposed to ever go? I mean, anybody with any common sense knows that you should revisit everything and from time to time and analyze whether the spending is still necessary or if it's just become a wasted bit of bureaucracy that employs people for the sake of employing people.
Well, I think there is a lot of employing people for the sake of employing people.
And they like that.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're in the middle of a no layoff period, as you know. And every day, I'm ranking member of appropriations, and we review all the negotiated collective bargaining agreements. And we keep getting like one a week because so many groups among the state employees have formed new collective bargaining units in the past couple of years. And they've been doing all their negotiations. So we had several of them for various attorneys who work for the state. I just got a new one for tax attorneys who work for the state. And I think one will be coming up for postdocs at UConn.
Now, why is that? Why is this fractioning of representation going on?
Well, have you seen the fringe benefits that people get when they work for the state of Connecticut?
Yeah, so are these people who aren't currently represented and they're seeking?
Well, no, they are now. They became they went into collective bargaining units 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and they came under the CBAC, you know, the 10-year union agreement. But they had to negotiate some of their terms separately from that, and some of them went to arbitration. So it's
okay. So you're saying different groups are getting representation year after year because they want some of the sweet deal.
Evidently.
Evidently.
We even heard the other day that there's one department that a lot of people are leaving because that particular department doesn't happen to offer, being able to add up your the overtime that you accumulate in your last 3 years to count towards your retirement. So there's
the super shakedown. They don't get to do the super shakedown, so they go elsewhere.
Super shakedown. So there's 40 of them who are migrating over to another state agency in order to get that. And so they're actually competing with each other.
Wow, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Representative, great to talk with you. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Thanks for having me on. Anytime.
It is a pleasure. Representative Gail LaViolette from Westport.